I'm just so happy what God is doing in this place. I'm very blessed for all those pastors who came and, you know, who they did sacrifice a lot of time to come out here and be with us. And we had an amazing time. And God was saying that he's still here, that he hasn't left us. And it was just so awesome to see all the breakthrough and even miracles. And, you know, I'm still waiting to hear some other testimonies from people who had attended. And God is doing great things. He wants to continue to do great things. And he is going to continue to do great things. Nobody's going to stop him. Nothing can stop him. And it was just such a blessing. And I'm glad for those who were able to attend. And as we know, it is no secret everything that's going on in the world today. And I've spoken about this before, but you could just turn on the news and you can probably go crazy after about a half hour, literally. And, you know, that's probably part of their job as a news outlet or the media or whatever it is. Part of their job is to fill you in on the craziest things that they can find and just keep on pumping that. And unfortunately, some people, they stay glued to that. They stay glued to that. And it can really do something to you mentally and even spiritually. But God is speaking to his creation. Believers and unbelievers, people are noticing we're living in strange times. You know, people are expecting aliens to visit. And, you know, they are just waiting for a visitation from extraterrestrial beings. Because people are looking for answers. They're looking for answers. That's what it comes down to. People, they're searching for something. But the thing that they don't know right now because they're blind is that they're searching for Jesus. Because he is the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? And we're a part of the end time army. We're a part of an army of the end times. God has chosen us to be born at this time, during this time period, to be a part of his army. What an honor that is. That's amazing. And another thing is, there's going to be a time when there is no time left. A time is coming when there will be no time. A time is coming when that is it. Time itself will cease to exist. So just let that sink in a little bit, because that's a very hard pill to swallow for somebody who doesn't have any hope. And it's not only that, it's for those who do have hope, but they see those who do not have hope. But we know the way. We do know the way. So I just want to pray really quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for everybody here, Lord. And I just come up against any type of distraction that will try to hinder this meeting tonight, that will try to hinder anybody here from listening and receiving this word, Lord. And I just ask that you prepare the hearts of those believers who are here, God, to receive what you have to say to them, to receive truth, Lord, from your word. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. So God put it on my heart to speak about him being sovereign. So the title of tonight's message is God is Sovereign. And I never really looked too much into it up until recently. And, you know, sovereign in general basically means like the supreme or the ultimate, to be sovereign, supreme or ultimate. Our God, he is sovereign because he has unlimited power. He has unlimited knowledge. He knows all. He knows everything. He's everywhere at once. And he is also all loving. All loving. So we're going to open up scripture tonight in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, Jesus did. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." So God allows things to happen. He allows things to happen. And, you know, we've heard this story many times. And God was literally with them while this was happening, and he still allowed it to happen. I myself may have been a little fearful as well if I was on that boat. You know, but what we see is that they became desperate. They came to a place where they needed God at that very moment, at that very second. They came to a place of desperation for God. I want to be desperate for the Lord. I do. And we've also heard this before in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And the Bible does say all things. I've questioned many times in my personal life, why does this happen? Why does this happen? How can this be? But when we truly understand the scripture, it's all going to work together for our good, no matter what happens, no matter what the scenario is. And I thank God for that. And also, in a few verses later, in verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" So we see that all things work together for our good, and we also see that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That sounds like a very hopeful situation to a believer, if you ask me. Very hopeful. He gives us hope. He is life. And I am honored to serve him. So in Exodus chapter 17, this is when Israel, they were in the wilderness, and they began to get very thirsty, very thirsty. They probably thought they were about to die. And in Exodus chapter 17, verse 2, it says, "Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' So Moses said to them, 'Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?'" In other words, why are you testing God and not believing that he's going to bring you through this? How did they get to that position to begin with? Look at the mighty miracles that God did to get them to that point, and they just forgot. Like, they weren't even thinking about that. They were thinking about their current situation. And in verse 7, it says, "So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" They said, "Is he even with us or not?" How many times have we asked that question in our lives? And I'm going to be very honest. I have. Like, "Lord, where are you?" Just like the disciples in the boat. He's right next to them, but they're saying, "Do something. We're going to die." God is always there. He is always there. Sometimes we can find ourselves spiritually dry. We can find ourselves emotionally weak. we can find ourselves in places where we're done, where we're just ready to call it quits. Sometimes it's hard for us to see breakthrough in some areas because we haven't come to the place of the disciples when they had said, when they were in deep desperation for God to help, we need to get to that place of desperation. We need to get to that place to where we can't live anymore. We can't live any longer without God. We need to get to that point of desperation. And I'm talking about in different areas of our lives where we lack breakthrough. Why does this keep on happening? How come I never see this happen? Am I the only one going through this? We need to get to a place of desperation and remember that God is sovereign and God is always there. And He sees our situations. He sees it. He hears our cries. He hears our prayers. He is there. But He wants to see that desperation. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? We got to be hungry. That's right. Yeah. Now, this is what Satan wants from us. He wants us to get, he wants us to have fear. He wants us to be in disbelief. He wants us to have unbelief. He wants us to doubt God. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to doubt God. Once we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Satan, he is very upset about that. So what he wants us to do is not believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He wants us to believe that God isn't who God says he is. And he wants to get us to a place of no hope and discouragement. Even believers, especially believers, he feeds on believers who have no hope and who have discouragement. Even though we do have hope in Jesus Christ, but he wants you to believe that you do have no hope. These are straight lies from the enemy. And the Bible speaks about fiery darts. You know, and when you see a fiery dart like an arrow, how did it used to be when they used to hit the target? They used to burst up in flames. So what started as maybe a little flame inside the arrow or whatever it was, it ended up consuming whatever the target was. And when you think about it, if it, you know, if it's a very big target, that whole thing will just burst in flames. But it starts with a fiery dart. So that's what we need to be careful with. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." There is simplicity in Christ. The devil doesn't want us to believe that there is simplicity in Christ. He wants us to think that it's complicated. Yes. There's simplicity in Christ. He paid our debt. He paid our debt that we were supposed to pay. And he paid it with his blood. And we have been redeemed. But the devil, he wants to complicate things. He wants you to get into that religious mindset to where you have to keep on working to get something that God has already given to you. Jesus already paid it all. He already paid it all. But the devil, he uses those fiery darts, as I stated. And this is what, you know, we need the shield of faith for. We need to have trust in God and what he said and his word. And also in scripture it says that who has begun a good work in you will complete it. So God has begun a good work in you and he will complete it. The devil says that you're too far gone and it ain't going to happen. That's what the devil's saying, but God will complete it. That's what scripture says. So in the midst of everything, God is still sovereign. He is still sovereign. In Isaiah chapter 43, This is what God says. Verses 1 and 2. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. And in verses 10 to 11, it says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant who I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Even I am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. Amen. There will never be another one. So the same God who was speaking this in the Old Testament is the same God who is speaking to the church today. Because just how he brought Israel out of captivity, he brought us out of captivity as well, spiritually. The captivity that we were in was sin. And through the blood of Jesus, we have been delivered from that. So we were once under the power of sin. We were once slaves to sin. But now we have been set free. Amen and praise God. We were once walking. We were dead men and women walking. That's what we were before Christ. In John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. We are under his divine protection. God is always good. I have a testimony of back in maybe 2006 or 2007. I think I've shared it before with a few believers, but there was a time when I was with my friends and we were swimming, and this was out at Lake Limerick, and you know, we were having fun, and I wasn't always the best swimmer. I just preferred not to go super deep under because that wasn't really my thing, you know. I just like to kind of splash on top, but I remember one of my friends, he had actually pushed me deep under. He pushed me deep under, and he used his feet and put them on my shoulders and pushed me down three times further. And it all happened so fast. I couldn't really understand like what was happening. All I really remember was I was swimming for my life. And when I was like that far deep in the water, I really didn't understand which direction I was even swimming. I was swimming as hard as I could, but I felt like I was swimming down further. And I kind of stopped swimming so, you know, so frantically because I'm like, where am I even going? I opened my eyes, but it was just black. I couldn't see anything. So I just kept on swimming and swimming. And, you know, I got to a point in my mind and I just said, you know, like, this is it. I came to the conclusion that I can't swim anymore. I had no strength. And I was tired and I had no breath in me. There was nothing in me. And that was a very scary situation because in my mind, I have almost agreed with myself that I'm just gonna go. Like that's it. I didn't, it all happened so fast to where I didn't really have time to even think about, you know, saying a prayer because this is before I was born again. I didn't have enough time. I was just trying to find a way out. So right when I literally gave up, I broke into the air. I broke the water and I was actually on the other side of the water. At that very second when I had decided to give up, the last stroke, I actually like broke free on top and I felt it. And the reason why I say this is because God is all-knowing, and He is all-powerful, and He is all-loving. And I feel like God had His hand on my life at that time when I was an unbeliever. You know, I mean, I did have a knowledge of Jesus and God, but I didn't accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I thought that was crazy, and I was actually embarrassed, and I tried to shrug it off to my friends, like, everything's fine, you know? But really, I felt like I almost died. Like, I really did. If I would have been going the opposite way, I don't know if anyone would have found me. So, God is good always. He knows the future. He knew I would be here at this very moment. Back when, at that incident that happened in the lake, He already knew I was going to be here. That's how good He is and merciful He is. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 33 to 37, and Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So this is before David was even king. And he killed a bear and a lion. I can't even imagine that. I really can't comprehend how, you know, a servant, somebody who tends the sheep, killed a lion and a bear. It's amazing, and it's only by God's mercy, and it's only by God that He was able to do so. So, when I was thinking about what happened to me back at the lake, I came to this verse, and it reminded me that God was always with me. God has always been with you. Even when you guys were in your crazy heydays, we don't have to go into details, but God has always been with you. Amen. What Satan wants us to do is just to believe that God is dead. He wants us to believe that God is dead. He doesn't have a problem with you believing in God, but He wants you to believe that He's dead and that He can't do nothing for you today and that He won't do nothing for you today. That's what He wants. And I know Satan, he has been working overtime, especially lately, even with all this sickness and illness. But we must remember that our God is working triple overtime. Triple overtime. He can outwork Satan all day long. So yeah, the devil can do what he does, but our God will do what He does. It all comes down to whether we're fixing our eyes on Christ or not. That's what it comes down to. We have to look at Him and not our circumstance or not our situation. Getting sick, you know, everywhere. I hear about it at work. It doesn't matter. A lot of people are getting sick, but God is still here. And God still wants to do something through His people. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says, "But as for you, you meant for evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." So this is something that Satan wants to do. Whether it is with sickness or illness or injury, or stress or whatever. He wants to use it for evil in the worst way, but God will turn it into good, no matter what it is. Just how when the devil thought his greatest victory would be killing Christ, he really thought all he had to do was get rid of Christ. But what happened? That was the greatest failure he ever had. And that was God's greatest victory that he ever had. I love Scripture. It is so true. It is so true. But the Lord knows when everyone here will take our last breath. He knows. Just like when I was in the lake that one day, God knew I would be here one day. Just how he knows when I will take my last breath one day. But that is okay because we have hope in him. And we will always have hope in him. We can't listen to the enemy. Not in these last days. Not in these end times. We cannot listen to him. It's not even worth it. I wouldn't even entertain the thoughts that he tries to throw at us. So that was the word I had for you guys. I do want to pray, though, before I get broomed off the stage. I'm just kidding. I do want to pray. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for the word, Lord, that you have given me to give to the body. And I just pray that it is edifying, Lord. And I just pray that it is a blessing to everybody who heard it, Lord. And I also just want to pray for a supernatural healing, God, to come upon every single person who is sick, every single person who is even feeling a little under the weather, Lord. I just ask that you would touch them. And we are all in agreement, God. And you are so good to us. And I just thank you for everything that you have done in our lives and that you continue to do. I just pray also, God, that your will be done, that your will be accomplished in each and every person's life here. I ask for a supernatural stirring to come upon every single person here, God. Don't let us walk out of here the same. Let us be different, God. Give us a fire, your Holy Spirit fire, come upon us, God. Your Holy Spirit, your anointing, God. We need your anointing power to be flowing through every single one of our bodies, God. Because time is short. Time is short, Lord. And we want to be as effective for you as we possibly can be. And I just thank you, God, for everyone here. And I just pray that many seeds have been planted on good soil and that they be watered, God. And that they flourish and spring forth life. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.